Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. It's been a little over a year since the last time I welcomed Nick Phillips to our program, but he's definitely been busy in that time, so I can totally understand that. You might remember that Nick is part of Revolver Picture Company. We're going to be talking to him today, not only about some of the great projects he's been able to do, but also how he's been able to take the seed that was planted in him to tell great stories and to be able to share that literally with the world. He has a lot of great things that are coming through the pipeline, including a great short that we'll be talking about as well. But Nick, hello to you and welcome back to the show.
Hey, Cyrus, it's great to be back. I'm glad to talk to you again.
Look, man, the pleasure is definitely all mine. You know, it was great prepping for this segment with you because, and as I said, you've done a whole lot. I mean, you're always busy working on great projects. And I think that's the thing about you. I mentioned to you before we went live, the thing I also noticed recently is that you've been really becoming one of those go-to people that people look at and say, hey, you know what? Nick is one of those people that, you know, if he wants to do something, he's going to make the story that he wants to be able to tell. What has that been like for you, Nick, to be able to not only do what you love, but to know that just by doing that, you've been able to inspire other people?
It's obviously a great feeling. I mean, I feel really, really grateful. I mean, to be able to say that you're doing exactly what you wanted to do with your life, I just feel really lucky. I really, really do feel lucky because I, you know, not everybody gets to do that. I wish they did. And in terms of being able to help other people, that's all also kind of a function of realizing how long you've been doing this. And for better or for worse, right? I mean, there's a little bit of aspect of, geez, I'm old enough now to impart a little bit of wisdom, right? I mean, I know something, but I don't think that I know everything. But, yeah, I'm at a point now where I feel like I do run into people that have questions or just kind of want to talk through, you know, the process or how to get into this business or how to tell stories. And I think it's great. I'm always happy to talk to people. In a work context, or sometimes I bump into people socially, but I think it's a really good feeling to be at a point now in my life and career where I can sort of talk to people and help, you know, mentor or, you know, give them advice on how to navigate their own careers. So it's been great.
Yeah. Do you think part of this for you, Nick, and I mentioned to you before we went live that I was listening to a great interview, actually, you did on another program, and you were kind of walking us through your journey, of the entertainment industry and doing what you love. Do you think part of it is the fearlessness that you've cultivated to be able to not only tell these stories but to believe in these stories enough to want to let them see the light of day?
It's one of those things where you just kind of do what it is that you want to do and you get the courage afterwards. I think diving into this business, I was about 22, so I don't ever remember having fear or apprehension. I mean, it just was what I wanted to do, so I found any way I could in. You know, my one of my first jobs was just answering phones at Miramax, you know, for Bob and Harvey Weinstein. So that, you know, for me, it was all about just getting my foot in the door, and hopefully after that, people seeing something in you or realizing that you have a passion for this and then kind of hopefully moving along accordingly. But in terms of fearlessness, I never really conceived of it that way at the time. It was just kind of doing it and hoping it all turned out okay. And I think that's a function of being young and ambitious or what have you, you know. But sometimes I look back and, wonder, would I do that today, right? Would I just kind of jump into something like that at my age or with the responsibilities that I have in life? And, you know, I just think it was a function of being young and maybe naive or whatever and just going for it.
Yeah. And this year you did something new, and that was to be able to produce your first short film. Talk to us about that, because I had a chance, of course, to watch it before, as I was prepping for the segment. What was it like for you, for one thing, to conceive this idea and now to be able to see the way, especially because of the internet, Nick, to be able to see the way that it kind of took off?
It's funny you mentioned that, too, with the internet, and this might age me a little bit, but I wish I had that at my disposal when I was in my 20s. You know, I started out in school and college making short films with your friends, and the way we would disseminate it is you just invite a bunch of people over to your room and watch it on a VHS, right? That's the only way you could really get it seen by, quote, you know, a big audience. But I think now having those tools, if you're a filmmaker of any age, having the tools at your disposal to make something to shoot something, to edit it on your computer, to put it out through whatever portal you choose on the internet, and potentially get it seen by thousands, tens of thousands, however many thousands of people, is right. amazing. You know, and I think it's a great springboard for artists, visual artists especially. But for me, you know, I made shorts a long, long time ago in college, and it wasn't a function of so much wanting to direct a short. It was having the idea and then saying, well, oh, this you know, sounds pretty good. I think I'll go out and direct this, because it's something that I'd always wanted to get back into. You know, I mean, it's the old cliche, what I really want to do is direct, right? So
right.
I, as I've mentioned before, you know, I was sitting on a beach in the South Bay here in California, and I was using an app on my iPhone called the 8mm app, and I was just shooting footage of my younger daughter, my 4-year-old, and looking back at the footage, there was nothing in the frame to indicate any sense of time or anything like that. And I said, oh, cool. You know, you can almost get away with shooting a period piece with this and make it look like it's in the 70s and like it's real old 8mm footage. And that was kind of the kernel, the initial jumping off point. And I had originally written it as two teenage brothers, two boys. I thought of this idea of taking an 8mm camera into that old abandoned house, you know, in your town. And I think there's a lot of places in America that have that, right? That old house at the end of the block where the family moved suddenly, or, you know, someone tragically died there and it's been, you know, uninhabited for years, and you dare your friends to go in there on Halloween or what have you. So that was kind of the jumping off point. And my business partner, Kelly Wagner, comes from the world of casting, and she had said, you know what, I have two great girls in mind. You should make them teenage sisters. And the girls are actually not sisters, they're cousins. And their fathers are the Polish brothers, Michael and Mark Polish, two filmmakers Wow. that she had worked for previously. So we suddenly made it two teenage sisters. And I think that was such a great, small, yet huge change to the movie. And I think it worked really well. And they're both great, great actresses. So that was really it. It was just taking a kernel of an idea and just kind of running with it and finding the time and scraping together a little bit of money and just sort of going for it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm so glad that you said it that way, because I think that's the other thing, because there's still this misconception, I think, among people. And, of course, money is important for anything that we do. But have you found that that has been one of the things that new media has helped with, Nick, and that is that you don't have to have the large budget anymore, that you can really just have the right people, the right equipment, and then the right passion to make something great out of whatever you're given?
I think that's absolutely true, Cyrus. I think it's absolutely true, and I think it's part of a kind of an interesting, I wouldn't call it a revolution, but interesting sort of sea change in visual storytelling, that you don't have to, you know, wait for somebody to kind of swoop down and discover you and tap you on the shoulder to make your film. I think there's a lot of people out there, a lot of young people too, who have a passion for movies, who hopefully can, like you said, have access to the right people and the right equipment and have the right idea to go out and do it on their own. And I find that really inspiring. And as I mentioned before, I wish I had it when I was younger, but you know, I really do think now that it's an interesting thing. And I think Hollywood's paying attention. I think short form content is something they're really, really looking at right now. And you can see the proliferation of YouTube personalities, you know, YouTube stars, people that have become very, very, you know, have accumulated large followings and actually made some money as well, simply by being themselves, by putting a camera in their kitchen or doing what have you, or creating short form content. And that is something I think that the Hollywood studios are paying attention to, because young audiences, that's the way they absorb their media now, you know, is that they love to go on the internet and watch it on their phones or their tablets or what have you. And that, I think, is such an interesting new way to express yourself. And it was part of, you know, part of what I think a bonus of making this short is that hopefully it fits into that realm somewhere of just somebody kind of unilaterally coming up with an idea and shooting it and putting it out there on the internet for free. You know, I think it's right. a really exciting time in that world. And again, like I said, I, you know, the powers that be, whatever you want to call them, are definitely paying attention to that.
Yeah. Have you gotten used to, I noticed, you know, even in the promotion of the short, I mean, have you gotten used to the written and directed by Nick Phillips? Is that something that has now become a because you've done it so much, has that become now something you've gotten used to?
No. You know, normally, you know, by trade, I used to say I'm a producer. I started out as a studio executive. And in the studio days, in my studio days, you wouldn't, by rule, get your name on these movies that you worked on for whatever reason. And that was fine. And when we started Revolver, you know, we went into independent producing, and so you see the produced by credit, but seeing the written and directed by credit on Primrose was really exciting. I mean, you know, it took me back to being a kid and feeling that excitement again, and seeing your name up there as something you helped create was really, really cool. Am I used to it? No. Could I get used to it? Sure, of course.
And along with the short, I want to talk about the film festivals and the reaction, because you live with these things, regardless of it being a short. This is something you can tell took a lot of time. For one, because, you know, I think that's one of the things you become known for, Nick, the attention to detail. And, you know, I want to talk about, what is it like for you to hear the reaction from, it's one thing to hear from the critics, but what is it like for you to see the reaction from these festivals of the short film and the other work you've been able to do?
It's fantastic. I mean, it's what you aim for when you make, whether it's a feature or a short, especially in the horror genre. You hope, you know, you do the best you can and you put your all into it, and you hope that people, that you scare the hell out of them, that they jump at the right times, that they laugh at the right times, not unintentionally laugh or, you know, laugh at an inappropriate time. But it's great. And I wasn't able to attend all the festival screenings, but to have people come up to you and say, "Man, I just jumped right out of my seat when that happened," or "Oh my God, you created such a sense of this or that." It's really fantastic, because it shows that they noticed what you hoped they noticed by making the movie. And you know, whether it's Primrose, and we had a movie called Beneath that came out last year that was in some festivals as well, and being able to really talk to those audiences about whatever work that you're doing is really, to me, what it's all about. Again, the critics are one thing, and I absolutely respect their opinion. But for me, it's more about the fans and people that really love and appreciate horror movies. To get their validation, to me, means just a heck of a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about one more thing about Primrose, and then we'll talk about what continues to be able to happen with Revolver. And that is the fact that what I did not know going into actually watching it, and probably because I just overlooked it when I was reading about it, Nick, was that it was a silent film. That to me, there were two things that came to my mind I knew I wanted to talk to you about. One is, I mean, what was that like for you to write something where there is no dialogue? But then also, I mean, what a great marriage it is for you then to have to trust the actors to be able to tell a story without saying a word. I mean, what was that dance like?
It's funny you ask that. When I originally wrote it, I wrote it in treatment form, you know, which is just paragraphs, right? I'm just writing like a little story. And, you know, that's what I sent out to get the cast. You know, Jasper Polish plays Rose, and then her sister Hannah's played by Logan Polish, her cousin, as I mentioned. And the two other actors were Brett Del Bono and John Ross Bowie. They came on as well based on the treatment. But the closer we got to making it, the more I said, geez, what are these people going to be actually saying? Because, yes, it was a silent film, and I didn't want them just to kind of going, bah, 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 you know, and gesticulating and what have you. So I actually did end up, I was writing a script. I ended up writing just a little 5-page script. So what they're saying on screen is dialogue. And so obviously that was meant to help inform them and for them to give a real performance. Again, instead of just kind of pantomiming something and mouthing random words, I ended up actually writing a script. I think that helped, even though we all knew at the time that no one was ever going to hear it. And I didn't want to go too hard on the sound design. I think early on, we decided, and I had a great editor, an old friend of mine named James Ostrako. We said, let's just have that, you know, kind of whirring sound of the projector reels as the only thing that you hear. We added in a little bit of some sound design at the end there, and people will know it when they see it. That really was it. And it made things a little easier from a production point of view. You didn't have a sound person there, and you didn't have any sync sound or any of those kind of issues. So we just were able to shoot it just with the camera and have them say the dialogue, as I mentioned, even though they knew they weren't going to hear it. So from a production point of view, a logistical point of view, it was easier. But I think creatively, I hope the audience thinks, I think it works as well. That silence and that sort of droning sound of the projectors hopefully lulls people into sort of a submission, after which, you know, they get a little jolt at a certain point.
Right, right. And the other side of that is, I mentioned, you know, the dance, but I think, you know, part of the reason why Revolver has been able to be so successful in what it's done is because of the casting. Do you think that also goes to what the word I mentioned earlier, Nick, the trust of you? Of course, they're trusting you to create something great, but then also you're being able to trust them, knowing that their performance will be able to bring what you've created to life.
Yes, absolutely, and I think that's part of what makes the dynamic of Revolver really interesting. Is, as I mentioned, my partner Kelly was a casting director for like 20 years, you know, and she worked a lot in the genre. She did the Hostel movies and the Grudge movies. So that marriage of sort of casting and production experience all kind of rolled into one really I think helps us really put some great people in our movies. And in terms of the short. I love that relationship with the actors and that trust. If they're on board, if you kind of sit down with them when you first meet with them and articulate what you're trying to do and share with them your vision, if they're on board and they get it, then yeah, that trust is a really great thing. And even in the moment when you're working with them to be able to say, oh, that was really good, but maybe try this, or, you know, this isn't working, maybe we try it a little more like that. I think it's a really fun process. And if you have the right actors who want to roll up their sleeves and go with you, it's really fantastic, and hopefully the results are good too.
Exactly. Well, I think our audience would agree with that. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm excited to welcome back to our program today Nick Phillips of Revolver Picture Company. We'll tell you on a little bit later how you can stay connected with a Revolver and all the great things going on for them. Nick, I want to talk to you about appreciating it. As I mentioned to you before we went live here, I went back and listened to that first interview we did back in February of 2014. It's hard to believe it's been that long. But the thing we talked about was being present in it, you know, being able to appreciate it. I mean, you are so busy with Revolver. I mean, even by the time, of course, we're being introduced, you know, to Primrose, I mean, you're already, you know, you're working on other things, getting other things ready to be done. I mean, you know, what does that feel like? Are you still driven by the what's next? Do you feel as though for you, you know, your biggest challenge is your last project?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else I would be doing, you know, with my life at this point. I'm 42 and I do still feel driven. You know, I there's a lot of filmmakers out there, you know, who are in their 70s and 80s who are still doing it. And that to me is inspirational. So it tells me, okay, yeah. Hopefully, knock on wood, I still have some stories left in me. But yeah, I definitely feel that drive. And both Kelly and I at Revolver are always focused on that next thing and putting our all into it. And, you know, it has to be something we both fall in love with and something we really want to do. We don't bring in a lot of projects and develop a lot of things simultaneously. We both kind of find something and go, yep, this is it. This is the next one. We love this. We really can see this as a movie and see how to bring it to audiences. And that's really an exciting thing to kind of discover a new movie and get that ready and then see that come to life. So I always live for that next thing. And I'm proud of our body of work, and I think it stands up, hopefully. But I always really love that rush of finding a new project and seeing it come together and you know, being in production on it and then seeing it come together in the editing room and you know, getting it out there to audiences. So absolutely, I'm still driven by that, you know, 20-some years into my career completely. It's the best part.
Yeah. Do you find that one of the things that keeps it fun for you, Nick, is, you know, the challenge to yourself of creating something new?
Yeah, and especially in the horror genre, I think you have to there's a bullseye you have to hit in the horror genre of hitting those beats and hitting, you know, using those devices that people come to expect. That's one of the good things about horror movies. You don't really have to hide what you're trying to do. People come in with a sort of preconceived notion of how they want to be scared and what they want to see. But of course, the challenge is how to do that in a new and interesting way. I mean, I think a lot of the archetypal horror films, you know, there's a lot of stories that have already been told, and I'm not afraid of trying to dive into one of those type stories again. The key to us, and we always try to challenge ourselves, is to tell it in a new and interesting way, whether that be with an idiosyncratic filmmaker that has a specific vision, or again, a script that maybe turns some of those conventions on its ear. But that's always the challenge, try not to make something that's completely straightforward. Again, you want to adhere to those great classic beats of horror movies, but I think the audience wants to be challenged, and I as a filmmaker want to be challenged to do it in a kind of a cool new way that hopefully audiences haven't seen before.
Exactly. And I think that is what keeps people tuning in to see what's coming up from Revolver and you as well, Nick. Nick, let's talk about some of the things that are coming through the pipeline. As, you know, this summer, of course, Primrose, you know, that is what a lot of people are talking about, Primrose Lane. But outside of the short, what else is going on with Revolver that our listeners should be paying attention to?
We're shooting actually right now in Los Angeles. Our next movie, it's called Pet, P-E-T. And we just announced it the other day, so we're really excited to be able to talk about it now. It stars Dominic Monaghan, who was in Lost and Lord of the Rings, a great actress, really great actress named Ksenia Solo, who was in Orphan Black, as well as the TV show Turn, and Jeanette McCurdy, who's really great, I think is a really good piece of casting. She comes from the world of actually Nickelodeon. She was in she was sort of a child star, and now she's transitioning into kind of more edgy, grown-up roles, and she really, I think, will sort of surprise some people in this movie. But Pet is just a psychological thriller, I'd say in the vein of things like Hard Candy or sort of Gone Girl, in terms of having some twists that you might not expect. But the key for us is that we just loved the script, and so did the director. His name is Carlos Torrens. He's a Spanish filmmaker. We all really loved the script, and that's written by a guy named Jeremy Slater, who's a really fantastic writer. And it's a script that, again, not only has interesting twists and turns, but most importantly of all, it has great characters. You care about these people, even though some of them might end up doing some terrible things. You actually kind of you give a damn about them, and that's what really jumped off the page to us, is that these were well-drawn characters. But again, it also has the plot actually goes to some really great places. So that's actually currently, we're shooting that as we speak, right here in Los Angeles. And that will hopefully be done, you know, kind of wrapped up in a bow and done by the end of the year. And we have a couple of things hopefully on tap to shoot next year. But, you know, those are still in the kind of early discussion phases. So right now, as I mentioned, we kind of like to focus on one thing. And right now it's Pet. And we're just really, really excited about this movie. We're about 10 days in. And, you know, I think it looks really, really good so far. So we're really hopeful about it.
It's funny when you say you're 10 days in, because it was just a couple of days ago that the Hollywood Reporter talked about Pet. Does that part of the excitement too, I mean, Nick, for you to hear people talking about a project that's not finished, does it also kind of add to the excitement of your seeing, you know, it to the finish line?
Absolutely. And we were really glad we were able to finally get that release out in the Hollywood Reporter the other day. And all of the three actors that I mentioned really have very loyal and broad social media followings. And once they mentioned it on their various accounts, it just, really drew attention to the movie. Judging by the reactions from their fans, it's gotten a lot of people really excited. So, again, that's all part of the process by which you're making a movie, and suddenly people start to hear about it, and hopefully, you know, the word of mouth is good on it, and, it's just all really exciting. Yeah, this is, you know, being here, being on set and shooting the movie, I think is what we're all here for. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different parts of the process, but at the end of the day, we're all here to do this and to sit down and make a movie out of nothing. So it's a really exciting time for sure.
Exactly. Well, I'm excited that you're able to share that moment with us, Nick, joining us again from the set. Again, everyone, Nick Phillips of Revolver Picture Company has been our guest. Another great conversation with you today, Nick. Make sure you guys head over and watch Primrose Lane. Also, of course, stay connected with what's going on with Revolver through social media. They're all over the place. We tagged them on Facebook and Twitter to make it easy for you guys. It's just Revolver Picture Company is where you guys can find them on Facebook. And then, of course, on Twitter as well, you can find them there as well. As I said, we've tagged them on our page to make it easy for you guys to find them there as well. Those are the two main places.
If I can add two, Cyrus, too. On YouTube, if you just type in Primrose Lane, you get a lot of different results. I mean, obviously, it's not a super idiosyncratic title. So the best way to find it on YouTube is Primrose Lane, and in parentheses, it says a Revolver shortcut. So you might want to type in Primrose Lane Revolver, and it's the first hit that you get on YouTube. I apologize for interrupting you, but I always have to make a mention of that.
No, I'm glad you did. I appreciate that. Well, Nick, and thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it, and looking forward to your coming back again.
I can't wait to come back, Cyrus. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm Cyrus Webb. Saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.